that included all those water purveyors. And all those water purveyors committed to support the Water Lines Enterprise Project. This piece of legislation, piece of litigation, it's not legislation, piece of litigation does not mandate the pipeline, but it does recommend it. But that litigation, that document also has a clause that says if this isn't feasible, anyone who signs the litigation can go to the court and set there and petition to have the section involving this part removed. It's section 6A, the stipulation. Okay, next slide. Over 30 years, the cost will be approximately $80 million in capital costs to build the pipeline. That includes the $25 million, over $25 million, to build it, plus the entry rate, plus the bond cost, and so forth, over 30 years. The $52 million operation maintenance is, there is an agreement that we have to pay the city of Santa Maria $1.725 million every year. Years for the privilege of buying water from them. That doesn't pay for operation and maintenance because NPSC has to do all the operation and maintenance on the pipeline itself. What it pays for, we think, is the Santa Maria State Water Project water, and they have to pay some cost of getting that water and it pays that fee. So they will have to pay it. So it is truly the bill involved in the city of Santa Maria. $258 million is the big cost. That's the cost of the water. You say the next one. Now these numbers come out of the NPSC document. It's based on the Polish Group report, and it was presented to them on September 2009. And if you want to look at the document, I'll teach you where you can find it and what it is, and I can show you the charges on the paper. The water cost is based on a different document that is from the city of Santa Maria, and it lists 4 years of water cost, from 2008 to 2011. And it lists the cost of getting up an energy cost that NPSC is going to have to pay Santa Maria per acre for the water, and that's $1,443 in 2011. Now, NPSC added 5% to their charges from 2008 to 2009, and again, 5% from 2009 to 2010. So I took that 5% and assumed that would be an average adjustment every year, and carried that through for 30 years, and 3,008 feet is actually more than that. What I believe these costs at $258 million, they were based on 2,008 feet for the first 10 years, 25 for the second 10 years, and 3,000 for the third 10 years, because that's what the MOU said. But Michael Burnett said they were going to start with 3,000 acre feet, so those costs really go up to $300 million. Actually, almost $302 million in 30 years. Next slide. How will we pay those costs? NPSC has petitioned the county to approve an assessment district for all the customers of those four water purveyors. The county will send out a ballot to each person, if and when it ever comes out, and each person will vote yes or no and send it back. If you don't return the ballot, the vote doesn't come at all. But it's a return ballot to the county, and it will be weighted down based on how much property you own. So if you own a lot that's less than a third of an acre, you get one benefit. If it's more than a third of an acre, but less than 7 cents of an acre, you'll have to pay, you'll get 1.7, and that's what you'll pay, 1.7 as it means. And if you have more than that, you have an acre, you're going to pay twice, double, so 2 cents. So the return value is 50%, and 50% plus one. Instead of the unit, the weighted value from returning. If they vote for it, it passes. If they vote no, it fails. That's what counts. So in the stipulation itself, it specifies on the water cost, it actually doesn't cover the construction costs in the stipulation. Only the water costs are covered. And it says this is how the water costs will be shared. That the public DSA will pay 67%, Woodlands will pay roughly 17%, and the other two water companies will pay about 8%, We don't know if it's from their stipulation. It may not be any justification for them. That's what they're. If I take that, oh, $400 million cost, this is what each one is going to pay over the 30 years. Now, Golden State and Rural will pay their amount of plus profit because those are for-profit water companies. Okay. With the new water company, and NCSD will parcel that out in some way to the country. Those are water costs. The water costs will be on your water bill in addition to current water costs for sewer and water. It will not be replaced because NCAC has to pay about double what they're currently charging on water, and we will still be, Woodlands and Rural and Golden State will still be using the same water they're using now. Next slide. Because NCAC is going to use all the water to anyone else. The other water company is going to pay for it, and the theory is that will reduce the amount of water coming out of the ground, and therefore make our operations stronger. That's the theory. Now, this one is geared strictly to Woodlands Water Company. The total cost, based on the unit of benefits, we will have 1,566. Now, we're going to have 1,300 homes here, but 1,562 benefit units. The Monarch Club, for example, has 90 benefit units. The capital cost, $350,000. Operations and maintenance, $240,000. So our share of the bill is going to be $590,000. The cost per unit of the benefit is going to be $376 per year. This is annual, by the way, annual cost. So each home will have to pay $300 an assessment on your bill, tax bill, about $376. Now, there are 440 property holds roughly at this point in time. Times 376 equals 155,000. So that's all going to be paid by our tax. The rest of that tax is going to have to be made up by our developers. You can do the math. Big number. The Monarch Club is going to have a tax bill of $33,840. We're going to pay our share of that because we're responsible for the Monarch Club. Now, this is every year. Okay, next slide. On the water, Rob Miller, who is the manager for the water district, says that the water costs will be parceled out to all property, all units who use the benefit, not just the people using water. So, if that's the case, our share is 15.7%. We have 3,000 acres of water in water per year, so we're going to assume 5% increase in cost every year. This is the only assumption I've made, and it's based on how Santa Maria's average care cost for the last 2 years. So year one, the pipeline is completed in 2012. The total will be $4.5 million to the owed. Woodlands will have to pay $759,000 and each home will be $485. This is the math divided by the number of beds in it. Year five, 5% increase every year. It's $5.8 million and $170,000. Year 10, we're up to 829. That doesn't count the Monarch Club. Our dues will have to be increased to pay for the Monarch Club water. Again, that's my new definition. Next slide. Now, this trick is already built here. Now that I can speak again, the trick was fine. He's going to give you a technical background of the officer, how we got here, or this piece of drinking or water supply. And that's why we're here.
Why was there any water regulation? Just then in 1997, there was a major lawsuit filed to determine the water rights in the Santa Maria Water Basin. And that basin covers land from all the way down south of Santa Maria all the way up to the Five Cities area. It eventually brought in hundreds of litigants, including all of the purveyors, the Mesa Water Companies. They had this court case dragged on. They had 6+ years of testimony with water experts all over arguing over the issue of whether there was overdraft or not, because from a legal standpoint, they'd have to show that there was some overdraft damage to the aquifer to establish water rights. And so they, after 6 years, they came up with a 2005, actually, a stipulation agreement that 80% or so of the litigants signed and agreed to agree and the court accepted that. And what is not here is in 2008, the final judgment was affirmed, which included the 2005 stipulation agreement. And the main thing that came out of that final judgment and the stipulation agreement is that the entire basin was not in overdraft now or any time in the past. And this is critical to establish water rights. It's also very important for our discussion here, because when my letter showed you this glossy brochure that says we have a serious water problem, running out of water, and you hear all these things, it's just not true. And there's no technical basis for that conclusion. You can say it, but it's not true. So at least we have some, and the court actually heard testimony and reviewed all these reports for 20 years. So this was the best knowledge that they could come up with at the time. And that was 2008. Next slide. The result of the litigation is important to us, maybe not so important to the landowners, but what occurred that's important to us is that the court set up 3 basic management areas. The big one down in Santa Maria, this whole home basin area that we're in, and the northern cities area at the northern end. And these management areas, they established a technical group in each one, but the assignment they had to create an annual report every year to report on the health of their area. And on the Mesa, we have a technical group that is composed of water experts, and they meet almost monthly, every month, to produce this annual report. So, and it includes representatives from all water companies and ConocoPhillips and the ag community. Okay, so, and they submit an annual report to the court and includes the health water supply. Okay? Now, here's just a map to show, help show what I'm talking about. So this whole area is the water basin. And it's all one basin. And down here is Santa Maria. And this part of the basin is very deep. And then it narrows down, gets shallower. Here's the Napoleon Basin area, and here's the Pono. And here we are out here somewhere. And then there's the Northern Cities area, Oceano. And at this point, the basin is much shallower. So the water, if you imagine this whole thing tilted up, the base being higher than here, the higher pressure pushes the water in this direction. And that's the way the water flows. So when we talk about a pipeline that they drew out to pull water from this area here and pipe it up to here, it's going in the same direction as the natural your background. No, there's one in the tree there, that little grass.
Drops down like it almost did there, the court will come in and
they wouldn't care whether they have a whip or not. If the conditions are severe, something has to happen. So the second line is like a warning flag. It's called potentially severe water shortage. And it's designed to give a couple of years of warning if we have a severe drought, that this possible water conservation stuff that you could kind of nail this thing off before it ever got down to the severe water shortage. But another interesting factor, the point out of this thing, is that out of the last 35 years, we've been under this potentially severe line about 12 years, about a third of the time. Now what the WIC was proposing is that we will take 3,000 acre feet of water every year, whether we need it or not. So 2/3 of the time, this basin doesn't need it, or this area of the basin doesn't need that water. But we're going to have to pay for it, and we're going to pay a lot of money for it. Okay, next slide. One of the justifications of the WIC in the brochure there was seawater intrusion is imminent, and threat of seawater intrusion. And it's just a point that we made from a 2004 study by the county that said it's not an imminent threat, and even if it happened, it would take many decades before heavy groundwater content would result in any seawater intrusion. So these are studies of the area, the technical people that say, yes, there's always a threat of seawater intrusion. We live next to the ocean, but it's not a threat that's imminent, nor is it one that we wouldn't recognize if it were to occur. So will it help our water supply? Well, it won't guarantee a good, reliable source of supplemental water to the basin in times of drought, because it's taking water from one end of the basin and bringing it to the other. So if we have a drought, they have a drought. And they get state water, but if we have a drought, the whole state can have a drought. So it's just not a reliable source. Any extended drought will affect both San Maria and state water. And we may even affect the water that flows naturally from south to north. That again hasn't been determined. Nobody's done an analysis. The real point here is that we have time to explore better options. And that's what we're promoting here. Is that we've had a lot of rain this last year. The basin is filling up. So rather than go down this path, let's look at our options and determine a much better way of meeting some long-term goals. So our group, after studying this quite a bit and talking it over and all this, came up with a few final thoughts that we just like to leave you with. Today, in 2011, our basin is healthy. The court, through its monitoring groups, is monitoring the basin conditions, and they will look at these annual reports, and if there's any problem, they're going to be telling the court, telling us, because all these annual reports are public information, and so we would be aware of any problem almost as soon as it happens. And like I say, we have plenty of time to fix it. And so somebody is watching over this whole basin. And what we really should be doing is using these technical experts that they're meeting anyway and have them evaluate some of these proposed water projects rather than just have one magically appear as the only witness to the answer to all our problems, which it isn't, but there are better alternatives, and we have technical experts that could do a good technical evaluation. And what we're really pushing for because this basin goes into the Santa Barbara Valley, and involves state water, which comes from the state, and this is a regional issue. It can't be solved by SCSD putting in this little pipeline, and we think the county needs to be take a more active role in this, and in fact, Supervisor Teixeira is here, and I think he agrees with this, that he thinks the county should be more involved, and so we're just trying to offer alternatives here. I think that was my last slide.
Thank you.
Lower groundwater elevation, thereby reducing the hydraulic gradient between the Santa Maria Valley portion and the NMMA portion. If such a reduction in rating were to occur, the effect would be to reduce the quantity of groundwater flowing from Santa Maria north. So, in times of drought, it could be seriously damaging our own area, the aquifer, because it has pumped water out of it to us ahead of time. It's a possibility.
It's important to note that NCSD has been characterizing this water, putting this pipeline, as supplemental water, implying that this is water that comes from someplace else and is being provided to us to supplement our normal resources of water here. And our contention is when you take water out of our aquifer, it's kind of under pressure anyway, and pipe it down, all of us get there a little earlier than it would have anyway. And moreover, as Pat just mentioned, this report, this engineering report on it, this is a potential that doing with that could cause damage to our aquifer that, and we don't know. We honestly don't know if it will or won't because it hasn't been studied. And that's what we think needs to be done. We think the engineering needs to be done, the hydrology needs to be done on our aquifer when we're looking at potential solutions. The WIP is not the solution that we choose. Yes, right now is my issue. I take a moment and I ask folks in the audience to give us an indication of what their feelings are by saying, yeah, how many people think we ought to support a $400 million project with WIP and pipe our own water to ourselves a little earlier. I don't get too many hands on that question. I ask people how many people would be willing to sign a petition to our board of supervisors petitioning the board to get involved and provide getting involved in a regional solution to this regional problem. And I get a pretty good response to that. I hope that you folks feel the same way. The petition that we have and I have a couple of here. We have some more over at the desk there that we'd like to ask each of you to consider signing tonight before you leave. The petition we have, we think right now is one of the best tools we have to get the authorities that ought to be involved in this more involved. Right now, or up until just recently, so a few months ago, they were going along, Jerry and his friend. And so we started talking to people, and people started talking to them. And as a supervisor, Jerry is usually here. We've got his attention. We need to bring it all to the board and the county staff. We really need your help. We need your signatures on the petition, and if you know others that would sign the petition, we'd like you to take copies of the petition with you and collect as many signatures as you can. Pat, put a...
I have it yet. Tomorrow there will be a box in the mailroom.
In the mailroom there will be a box where you can drop the petitions off, and we'll take every signature we can get for... we can't have too many, so we'd really like to have your help with that.
And the information on this, explain to people that haven't heard all of this, explain a little bit about it and what we're asking the board to do. We're asking them specifically to go to Santa Clara Court and take the section out of the stipulation that deals with the WIP. And that's one section, section 6A. And all it does is take out the mandate that NCSD claims they have to do the pipeline. We really feel that, number one, it doesn't provide any water, so it's not solving any water problem, and it is outrageously expensive. There is no limit to the cost of water, no limit to what Santa Maria is charging. And we're paying for half of it, I think, is one more. One of them is out of our own aquifer, so it is a ridiculous amount of money to pay for the water. The acre foot, the cost for acre foot is what a lot of people in the engineers in particular use to judge how expensive water is and whether it's reasonable or not. And the acre foot cost for this project, for the construction, just the construction and the bond and all that, is $1,437 per acre foot. When they add the first year water cost, it's $1,515. The total is $2,952 per acre foot. Now, one legendary also did a study on desal in 2007. And the desal cost per acre foot included the construction. And this, by the way, is 6,300 feet of water, not 3,000. It's capable of doing 6,320 tons. The construction cost, they estimated, with in 2007, at $78 million, and they added $19.5 million for contingencies, and that carried it a little forward, so it was now 4 years later. If that's $98 million, that would cost of 1,400 acre feet. Add the maintenance on that, 1,100 acre feet, the total is 2,500. In the first year of this particular proposal, it's already substantially higher, and that cost is rising everywhere because of the water. So it goes for, if you sell 2,500 with 2,900, no new water, this is all new water. All new water then. It's not reused as the water that you know,
there's no shovel-ready project other than the VIP that we can present to you. What we can present to you is there are other options that haven't been studied yet. This is a problem. We need to on a regional level to study these other opportunities we have for true supplemental water. And hopefully it will be a lot more cost-effective than the current project.
One of the things you must be aware of is all the nobody who play golf, especially, is all the retention bases around the golf course. The whole driving range is a huge pit, and it builds up with water that rains, and then there's retention bases around a whole lot of the fairways. And they hold a lot of money. This past year, we had double the rainfall. Now, MTSC says it only went up a little bit. They're counting the water before October. We had all the water we had in November, December, January, November, December. It's a huge amount of water. Those retention bases around the golf course were there for a week, 10 days, 2 weeks, slowly settling in the autumn. Rob Miller told me just the retention bases alone that are here now. They add on an average rainfall year for 200 acre feet of water each month, back into our office. Now that's a wonderful thing. So more retention bases can really make the difference. Make up for what we do. In addition, we recycle all the sewer network, and that will not be all for a small which goes back in the office. They don't have a balance that can capture. But there's lots of ways to conserve water and lots of ways to return water to the office. Don't need to spend $400 million on a project that doesn't do either one.
I can also tell you that these retention basins that are here on the golf course, it's quite holding a lot of water in a lot of golf courses. questions. We usually have some other folks here that have expertise in permanent areas, but three of us will try to answer any questions that you might have.
Has the SDSD commented at all on your position?
Yeah, I think it's fair to say the MCSD is committed to their project. So anybody that suggests that it isn't the perfect way to go, or suggests any other alternatives, immediately hits the enemies list.
We had SDSD come to our meeting, so with Eddie, no relation to me. Eddie Lee sat through the whole afternoon first presentation, and you've got me from one of the inside of the church.
Michael Rooms, their other meeting, and since Eddie quickly turned my calls.
So it's my thing.
Yeah.
They've been invited to present, and they've declined to take part in it.
I'm talking to Ken, and then my first meeting.
The attendance today was not good. We had about 50 people here this afternoon, and then quite a few people came over from last night. We were a little bit late today, but it was about you and I got to know it was about late. I didn't realize that we used the community. completely challenged, but I finally thought about calling Stephanie and she agreed to put it over to the building. And I said, it was only 1 week. And I should have had it. We debated a long time about what day to have it, so the meeting was a step quite early enough to get it in the month of calendar. And then I said, I was going to listen. I couldn't make that work first, and then I did get it to work. So I don't know that we put out quite enough information that we should have. But the other thing here is that presentations were made on the water project twice in the last month by Carl Miller or one of the managers here. And so they're hearing the positive part of the presentation here. They're saying only the cost, a little bit, only the cost, like that, a couple $100 a year. They're against that. That's what Carl Miller is doing. And part of it is because we have to pay something on water every month. We pay $24 a month, $48 a month, you know, for something on water. I'm not sure where that water is going, where that money is going to go. I mean, it could be used to reduce everybody's tax assessment, or it could be used to reduce some of the fees at the water cost. I do not know how they're going to use that money. I don't think they told us yet. But Rob and I do not agree on the numbers. He's using probably 1,350 or some other number for 8 foot of water, which is what Michael Brown is putting out with the cost of water. But that's not what the document from Santa Maria says. It says at the top of my document, city of Santa Maria, to the following extent, this is the cost of water. This is what you're going to pay. 2011 is 1443. I do know that Judy Arthur was invited to the Edinburgh County Advisory Committee meeting several months ago to present the cost of the list. And he declined to do so. He arrived and everybody's waiting for his numbers, and he said he didn't have any of them. But he did say, I will tell you what the cost of water for the day is, $1,450 per acre foot. Now that's real close to 1433, but I think he had the number right. And I was shocked because I thought it was much lower. And I think we're obviously going to show them.
So if there's any other information in the form of prayer?
Well, you know, they did a beautiful article. My husband did a beautiful article on our first meeting. It was a very lengthy article that was presented both sides. We felt it was pretty good job of it. They followed it up with a letter to the editor. That said the opposite. I wrote a response to Eddie's letter that hasn't been printed yet. I don't know if they intend to print it. They might letters are too short for 12 minutes, and it's hard to answer at any point. But you did it too.
I think your question was, how are we planning to spread this word more in the future?
Contacted the county and said, well, we don't think we need you. We think we can do it our own. leaders, because they're planning to do it for the four waters of the area, but we're not quite sure how they can do that, because we're not their customers. And I don't know what they're planning to do. They've had timelines. They have timelines for 2 years. That's that area.
They keep pushing them off. One of the reasons they've been doing that, I think, is this public relations thing I've been doing some polling on and finding out that it's not a very good environment there for an assessment district issue to be go to the voters. I got to get clobbered today now. So they've been trying to launch this PR campaign for this brochure as far as
scare
tactics.
Scare tactics.
Well, the scare tactics is certainly contained in that brochure, no question about it. And that's the type of campaign they're going to run. Shame on them.
Yeah.
But they the dates that they planned on having the election on have been aborted each time. And now we don't know what their plan is. I'm not sure they know.
That's what we're trying to do with challenges, because we're hoping the county will take some action. And that kind of shuts it down a bit, or tamp it down a bit, or make it much more difficult. They've never talked about the cost of water. They've said, "Not to buy it." I get out of their agenda. They know what the cost of water is. They know what it is. They know how harmful it's going to be. But they are looking at that. They seem to be. I mean, I don't know why. We have questions this afternoon. Why?
So the county does have to take action to put
the homes out. A non-MCSB decided they can do their own assessment district.
We thought so until yesterday.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I don't think the county's right to receive. I think that the agency of the assistant doesn't know the cost. That's what they say, but we don't know what the cost is.
They
do know what the cost
is. They've also been avoiding this. If we proposed that it wasn't just us who proposed that the supervisor and sheriff suggested a joint meeting where we could all get together. They're all things on the table. Let's talk about it. And we thought that was great. We were really looking forward to it, and they backed out. They couldn't participate. And we've asked them more than once. We asked them to participate in this presentation, the first one we did, and this one they declined. So I guess it's not even one question about their expectations about it. The five elected board members from the Home Resource District area.
Four of them have been there for a very long time. Mike Smith.
Are they business men or are they residents?
They're all residents within the district.
I don't think any of them can catch on. And they're not paid well by any of the agencies. They're paid $100 or $125 per meeting. And they have a minimum of 2 meetings a month. That they also are on the subcommittee. And I think they get mileage and maybe some other things when they go to the board of supervisors meeting and so forth. Mike Lynn has been on the board a very long time. He supposedly is a minister and a school teacher. Eddie needs a nomination. Maybe I could develop a nomination. The nomination is Eddie.
It's his name to mention, but this labor.
That's been on the board a long time. I'm quite certain he's not. He's retired. I don't really know what he did. He has a lovely home. I've been to his house. He's on the same TGIF group that I am. And he comes and it's a beautiful home with a lovely rose garden. He's just a lovely water. He's the only one that voted against the water house, the spray rights that they just proposed and are not to go into a proposition to 18-45-day period, 90% a year for the next 5 years. Every year, 90% every year. It doesn't come to the list. That's what the problem is, that you're going to have to pay for the water. You're going to approach it. But you have to get about 2,700 people to say no. That's it. Keep the paper with their county assessment number on it, their address, and an original signature and a date. You have to have all, and say our project. You have to have all those things on it from the county. That's how you do it.
For the Brooklyn Lane School or Hostage.
east, all the way, you know, south of kind of Pomeroy Orchard, all the way out to where the scrubber is from.
But it's also all those streets, I mean, they named after planets, they got little bones, you know, trailers and very little plots. That's for all the, I get a list of sex offenders too much, truly. That's what they all did.
We're working on all these different areas, both in safety first and then working on the home itself. That's for, you know, two-thirds of this financial burden is going to drop on those folks. But again, little or no benefit to it. We'll continue plugging away. That's what we can do. I don't know what else. If anybody can come up with really great ideas about how we can get this information around, started out
figuring their balance sheet that they were going for of a 700, fund 700, had so much money in it, we had to match that to be a part of it. We looked at the numbers and said $400 and some that would be good. We fought it for 15 months, it came to a Prop 218. We defeated it by about a 75-80% margin, big time. They kept adding it over. The people in Black Lake are great people. We lived there for 5 years. But they're not political. They're not going to fight for this. They're there to retire. Okay, pay the money, shut up, and we're done. They finally negotiated it out and said $437. So the group that was organized from Black Lake cut that bill from 1672 down to 437. It maintained, it saved the community $785,000. That's a lot of money. That's over $1,200 per each individual line for each household. I don't know what the agenda was for NCSD other than take over Black Lake Water. It's all part of this ongoing project with the water. These people up here, my wife included, Larry and Bill, and the other people that are here are local citizens. We live in this community. We're not fighting something just to be fighting over or crazy or something like this. This is where NCSD has gotten totally out of control. They have no oversight above them. The county may be able to do something and say, well, you can't get this without our approval. But they run a wire and we don't know where, why, or how, or what, how do you follow the money trail if there is one, or what's going on. But we have a local service, community services district. Why do you put a water intertie project in from Santa Maria to bring the same water up here? The only people that are going to benefit financially is Santa Maria. They're fighting their own community. They're going to bankrupt their own community. If you should figure out what this total cost is going to be, it's ridiculous. It just can't be done that way. I urge you to talk to your friends, talk to your neighbors, talk to people. Like I said, we're a part of this community. We're not here to destroy it. We're here to try to protect it.
We don't know any way that this would go to 1.6. We don't have any magic bullets for that to come. So we were a nice small district and we could get 75% of the vote to oppose a rate increase. And that was the old fashioned rate increase that it shouldn't have been, but that was the increase. And we did that. So
especially with this project, if we can cut the cost of it, it'd be one thing. The project does nothing. It doesn't solve any problems. This project could address the steep problems that don't exist.
Yeah, for Pat, from your analysis of the cost per home, the capital cost of being an acceptance district was $385 a year per home. But do you remember the number? And then you have another cost of the water of $400 something. So the cost per homeowner would be those two added together.
That's
for
right.
A year.
That's so right. That would be probably because you're paying $24 a month now. You have to take most of that away from that total. But you have to think of the yearly cost because it's real difficult to equate your tax rate with your monthly water charge. I don't know how the water charge will be charged. It's just going to be an add-on because you're still going to be using water. You're going to be using our water. You're not going to use their water. So I don't know how that's going to appear on the water. I don't know what it will look like that day. I probably won't not going to know that until it's done and they've got to figure out how to charge it. And I would guess, to be fair, it would be the same charge to everybody. So I would guess that someone on a lot of these is going to be replaced with this one. But I don't know that. I don't know how to look that much. I'll ask Ron, I'll sit in here and ask him how it's going to be charged.
The total cost per home.
sell it. Well, he's telling them that so much I can sell it, so much I can buy it. But I don't agree with his numbers. I don't agree with his numbers. For the promo, for NCFG, I think that their first year bought it, in addition to what they're now paying, it's going to be $516 a year. That's the first year.
$80.
And the bad news is it gets worse. It's going to go down. And 5 years later, it's $658.
Now it's down close to $840.
And how do you think you need to share with all the news? No. That's right. That's the advice of the year. And it's probably not a city that it costs you, but I assure you.
We use numbers to set the budget for going forward. We could put up some assumed that they would fall into some sort of pathway that gave them one, and this would start to happen next year. So it was nice to start to change. It's not just the construction, this is a 30-year agreement they have with that grant.
Great, 18 months. That was one of the options somebody was at, well, the engineering is pretty much done. It's not hard to understand. Put it on the shelf and then you get it. You have 18 months, plenty of time to see why you're here.
Every meeting gets paid $250 you have some handouts? Just give you a suggestion.
The Martha City Water is using it, not me.
Well, that's through the court sale.
Is that one of the court sale?
Yeah.
They got it now.
They basically, and they, the court agreed to, like, on the court.